hour number two of the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good stuff, as Chase McCabe is currently giving me a thumbs up through the window. Not anymore. And it wasn't a thumbs up. It was the one-gun salute.
Love it. Read between the lines, as they say.
Thanks, boss. I've been told I'm not allowed to complain to him for the next 24 hours, though, so it is what it is. Let's discuss the weekend poll question. Results have gone final, and I will say I am a bit shocked by the results. Our question, of course, if Vanderbilt football beats Alabama today, is Diego Pavia a Heisman favorite? Through 50 votes, the results are in. 62.5%. of you voters say, yes, Diego Pavia is a Heisman voter. That leaves 37.5% saying, no, he is not. Frazier, I think there is something I want to talk about in reference to this. There is another quarterback in the SEC that has gone down with injury that I think helps the case for Diego Pavia in the Heisman race, and that's John Mateer over at Oklahoma. Ironically, the guy Vanderbilt was about to get before Diego Pavia decided to come back. Does John Mateer's injury help the case for Diego Pavia?
Absolutely. I mean, that's an opportunity loss for John Mateer. Unfortunately for his hand, I get all that. But
did she just drill the kick? I'm sorry.
No, Kirk Herbstreit ended up throwing the football through the uprights. I think they made an agreement if Kirk Herbstreit threw the ball through the uprights and made it, she would win the money.
Oh, that's privileged. Yeah, we don't like that.
Well, I mean, I get it. I think she just won how much money? $300,000? Yeah, $300,000. So, shout out to that. But as for Pavia and Mateer, I think it's a good opportunity for Pavia to capitalize on. It's a good opportunity for Pavia to capitalize on. And I think when you look at Mateer's injury, he'll be out for, what, a month is what they were saying?
Three to four weeks. Yep.
So it's something that they're going to have to really – basically, Oklahoma has to play damage control while Mateer's out. But as for Pavia's Heisman hopes, I think they're in really good form if they beat Alabama.
It's kind of why I asked Jacob that question, because he gave incredible insight on that. I think if Diego Pavia goes into this game, plays a clean game of football, and wins – I think he is in the top three as far as Heisman candidates, and I think the top three would all be quarterbacks. It would be Pavia, Mateer, and that guy Dante Moore over at Oregon who is lighting it up this season.
So good.
He has looked very good. But to the question's point, I do think it is going to be something that you need to look at. That team is not that team without Diego Pavia. He is the focal point of that offense. He is the focal point of that locker room's energy. He is everything that team needs and more, and it's hard not to respect that and kind of like that. Now, you can separate the whole, you know, trash-talking element from his actual play. Vanderbilt, I think, is doing a little too much talking right now, but
they're backing it up.
If they back it up, then who am I to judge it? But I think Diego Pavia, if he were to go and win this game and look good doing it, he makes quite the statement, not just for himself, but for Vanderbilt football as a surefire college football playoff contender.
Absolutely. I think if they stay in the playoff picture, that only strengthens his Heisman case. And also, too, something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet we talked about earlier about, like, Brady Martin, if he was in a slump or something. Mm-hmm. You look at Diego Pavia, a quarterback that, say he doesn't have the football, he will still, you know, block a play or two. I think that's something to look into. Again, it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but still, that's something to look into.
He does a lot of things that don't show up in the stat sheet.
Yep.
I mean, stat watchers will look at his stats and be like, he's not that great of a quarterback compared to other guys, and maybe that's true from a throwing perspective. But look at the energy he provides. Look at the amount of confidence he provides this team. This is a revival of Vanderbilt football, and it's all because of Clark Lea, Diego Pavia, and company.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Pavia is going to be idolized by Vanderbilt fans forever because of the revival he's performed on this Vanderbilt team, because of the level. Look at the game last year this time. 40-35, Vanderbilt, Alabama. The poster's right behind you. He is going to be etched in history forever because he won that game. I think if he goes out and does it again today, he's even more of a legend.
I agree. I think this Vandy team is different. You know, Will Muschamp was on earlier this week with Chase McJoe and mentioned how much the veteran presence.
Muschamp Monday?
Yeah, Muschamp Monday. I think it was Muschamp Tuesday. Sorry, MT. Sorry about that. But no, just he came on and was expressing how much this veteran Vandy team can really, you know, do some damage. And the fact that you have, what, I think he said 45 guys that are.
Yeah, 45 guys, new players.
Upperclassmen, like. Stuff like that, you don't get that on a lot of other ball clubs. And I think for Vandy, when you have that experience and maturity, it takes you over the top when it comes to going up against teams like Alabama, who, in my opinion, are not fully there. Even though they beat Georgia last week, I get all that. I think it's more Georgia losing its touch than Alabama really gaining their feet under them. So it's just something to look out for. I'm sure the whole Florida State game really awoke a beast in Alabama's play. But that's something to watch out for today, is that Vanderbilt is a really good ball club, and you have to start respecting it, because if you're blowing teams out by 40 points, 30 points, that means they're a good team in my aspect.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are your thoughts on the Diego Pavia Heisman race? If he wins today, does he sure up a spot in that MVP ladder? We'll continue this conversation next. Plus, let's just break down the matchup. Vandy versus Alabama going on later today. I think it is a very underrated quarterback matchup, and I kind of want to take a look at the comparison between Ty Simpson and Diego Pavia. Coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Today's college football game of the week is Clemson versus North Carolina at 11 a.m. on Sports Talk 830, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in to Nashville, Tennessee. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. This is my show right here, Frazier. Good old Parks and Recreation. Love that show. Want to break down the matchup, quarterback matchup, between Diego Pavia and Ty Simpson. Looking at the stats right here, Ty Simpson on the season, 1,138 yards passing for 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's an 84.2 QBR. That's 12th in the nation. Diego Pavia on this season, 1,211 yards, 13 touchdowns passing, 3 interceptions, with an 88.4 QBR. That is second in the nation as far as QBR. Underrated quarterback matchup right here. If I were to give you the opportunity to choose between Ty Simpson and Diego Pavia to build your college football team, which one would you take?
It depends on how I want to play, but Vandy fans, cover your ears. I'm going to go with Ty Simpson.
Me too.
I think you make it, we're talking in the break, we're talking about Matir Pavia, but you make a good point about Ty Simpson as well. Like, after the Florida State game, throw that out the window, he's averaging 295 yards in the air.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. 295 yards on average.
Like, I think you have to separate the systems in both quarterbacks' play. Vanderbilt is a run-first team. That said, Diego Pavia has the legs to get outside the pocket and scramble a little bit, and he's not afraid to do that, reminiscent of one Johnny Football, who will be on the sideline today,
right,
watching that game. Ty Simpson is a pocket passer. Doesn't have the legs. I mean, he can get outside the pocket a little bit, but he's not to the level of Diego Pavia, but he is an air raid merchant. He is the kind of guy that you want sitting in the pocket, waiting for a receiver to get open, and then just go guns blazing, fire it to him. Mm-hmm. That said, I think if you were to plug Diego Pavia into that Alabama offense, you wouldn't get the same result you're getting with Vanderbilt. Not to be negative.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I think the outcomes will be the same. I just think the play is going to struggle. Let's put it that way.
Now, let's say this. Jake Lyman made this point yesterday, so I'm going to reiterate it.
Sure.
Alabama is a team that is a collective of elite talent. I don't think there's any arguing that.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt is a team They are brothers united. They are guys that will go to war for each other, and that's why they play the way that they play on the field and win. Because they are, I don't want to say elite, they're not elite players. They are good players that are mature, old enough, and experienced enough in the game of college football to know how to operate a team. That's why they succeed. That combined with elite coaching from Clark Lea. On the other hand, Alabama is always going to be a blue chip talent farm. They are always going to have elite talent on both sides of the ball. I don't think there's any arguing that. But I think Vanderbilt plays more like a football team than Alabama does.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I get where you're coming at. I understand, but I'm going to have to disagree as of right now. I think Vanderbilt is the more complete team that I get it. You mentioned that they are a team that plays together. They're a full team. And I think Alabama has those superstars you're trying to, you know, differentiate. I get that. As for Vanderbilt, I think they just, they're a more put together team.
That's what I'm saying.
I know that's exactly what you're saying, but when it comes to this matchup today, I think Vandy knows how to out-scheme Alabama. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're by biting your tongue a little bit.
Mm.
I think Vandy knows how to out-scheme Alabama today because we've seen it in key games like last year. They know how to manage the clock well. That's something that we haven't really seen with Alabama quite yet. I mean, we saw them playing from behind against FSU, but their other games against ULM, Wisconsin, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when they played Georgia last week, did they trail at all?
No.
Exactly.
Never once.
So when they play from behind, that's where the struggle bus comes into play. So if Vanderbilt can get off to a hot start in this game, I think that's where Vandy kind of takes the reins. Because
I 1,000% agree with you. Because that's what we saw last year.
Exactly. And the way Vanderbilt played against Texas and Alabama last season, horizontally, not vertically. When they wanted to use their little RPO action, now they have a three running back head back there now. But
yeah.
Last season, Vanderbilt knew how to manage the clock, so they'd spread it out wide. Like, Pavi would take those runs and just drag it out wide for a third and four, third and three, where they knew they knew what play they'd run next that would get them that first down.
Yeah.
As for Alabama, I don't see that with them this year when they're behind. Obviously, we've only seen it once against FSU, and they were in shambles, but I think they've figured that out now because Ty Simpson had three sacks in that game. Since then, they've only conceded one sack against their three opponents, which was Georgia, ULM, and Wisconsin.
Mm.
I get Wisconsin's not great. Chase McJoe mentioned that because of NTSU. They're not great. ULM, obviously a cupcake game. So Georgia was kind of their biggest test, and they didn't let up any sacks in that game either. So I don't know. Again, it's kind of hard to dictate when it comes to Georgia because I don't know if it's Georgia falling off or if it's Alabama kind of coming into their own. It's a tough situation to really dissect there. But as for this game today, if Vandy can get off to a hot start and Pavia can somehow control the game, I don't see why Vandy fans would be worried about this game at all.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to some of your texts today. Dustin in Hopkinsville with just a wild text here. Someone on Facebook posted that the Titans should draft Diego Pavia if they get the number one pick. Do you want to just say a collective no there?
Probably not.
Yeah. Diego Pavia, great college quarterback, fits Vanderbilt perfectly. I don't know if he does anything beyond that on the football level.
Look, if I'm Diego Pavia and if I'm people that are consulting with him, use him like the next Taysom Hill in the NFL. I think he'd be a great utility knife, whatever you call him, a utility player. I think he'd be a
gadget
great,
guy.
Gadget guy, thank you. A tight end, an H-back. You could use
like
him at
Taysom Hill.
Exactly. That's what I said. He's like the next Taysom Hill. That'd be perfect spot for him in the NFL. So, I don't see him as a starting quarterback anywhere in the NFL. Maybe he's a UFL caliber player, but
yeah,
I think if you put him in the NFL somewhere, he'd be a great gadget guy.
He also makes a great point on the text line. More thought went into picking players to match the need at position for Vanderbilt. There's really no soft spot at Vandy. Bama just grabs stars with no intentions, but he's the best we got at the position. Vandy's players seem to have bigger, wider roles. Maybe an extreme take there, but I think he has a point when you strip it down to the studs. Alabama has talent on all levels, but it's a matter of, okay, who's got more athletic tape? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt, I think, looks directly at guys and says, okay, you match exactly what we need here. And they execute to perfection almost. So I think that's a great take. He's saying it was sarcasm and it was a hot take. But
yeah.
I think when you strip it down to the studs, it's actually not a horrible thing to say. Like, I think there is good reason behind that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Alabama obviously has its stars, but you talk about stars there. One star that's not really shown up for me this year is Ryan Williams, the star wide receiver. I think he's underperformed this year. I don't know if it's a system that Kalen DeBoer's trying to adopt. Maybe they're trying to figure out ways to get Ryan Williams open. Obviously, he had that little hiccup against FSU with the knee thing. And
dropped a for-sure touchdown last week against Georgia.
Yeah, so he's just not coming into his own. I don't want to say he's overhyped, but he's definitely not living up to the expectation this year. So as for Vanderbilt, yes, Dustin, you're right. They have a more complete team. This is, I think, a culture that Clark Lea has built to the point where regardless of whoever is in there, they know what the obligation is, and that's to win the football game or get the first down or whatever it is. I think that is set in stone.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to give your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Alabama kicking off around 2:30 today pregame over on 94.9 The Fan at 1 p.m. if you want to listen. Unfortunately, the Predators are on the air here. Well, not unfortunately. We're very excited for the Predators.
But for the change, yeah.
But yes, it is slight programming note. That game will be carried over on 94.9 The Fan with Andrew and Norm on the call and, of course, Kevin Ingram on the sideline. Again, if you want to text your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Want to get to this on the other side. If Vanderbilt does, in fact, pull this off for the second year in a row, what does Nashville look like tonight? What does the West End look like? Because I feel it's going to be an absolute party. That's up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. LPL Financial is your partner for whatever your future holds. Welcome back in. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on this Saturday morning. About 30 minutes left in the show as we get you set for Vanderbilt and Alabama. The big game going on today. Game day is there. Game day has been rather questionable today for me as they just handed some lady $300,000 by throwing the ball at the uprights, but credit to her. She got money. But it's not about game day, about the actual game today. Vanderbilt and Alabama. So I pose this question to you, Nick Frazier, and to our text line, 615-737-1025. If Vanderbilt does in fact win and does this for the second year in a row over Alabama, what is the party like on Broadway tonight?
Man, the Pavia party is going to be crazy.
Pavia party? Are we coining that?
I think Pavia party is fair, you know.
I like it.
Thank you. I'm trying to think what else we could put in there that's a P. Oh, man. I don't know. Pavia party. I have some thoughts. I don't know. Phenom. There you go. The Phenom, Pavia Phenom party. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
I like Pavia party the best.
It pops.
Pops, you know what I mean?
The plosives pop.
Yeah.
I think West End will just be going nuts because, actually, I take it back. They'll go nuts, but at a respectable level because they have.
I don't think so.
They have a bye week and then they got LSU.
Yeah.
I
that's one of my favorite Vanderbilt moments of all time is when they beat Florida at home and the student section respectfully stormed the field one by one.
They all went down the steps. Yeah. To be honest, I think Vandy needs to start looking into a watch party inside the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Vanderbilt, if you're listening to me.
You just renovated your stadium.
Candace Story Lee, if you're listening to me, 2%. That's all math. Maybe 3%. If we're generous, 5%. Start doing watch parties inside of First Bank. I think that's a really good idea.
I think it's brilliant.
I think
Memorial.
Or Memorial. Yeah, I just think you just start utilizing those Vanderbilt facilities. This is something that'll be great.
Yeah, I agree. I think capitalize on your success.
Yeah.
If people aren't going down to Tuscaloosa, and I know I have a lot of friends that are Vanderbilt fans that are headed out there, but if you can't make it, Vanderbilt should make a way to where you can be inside of a game day atmosphere, get the cheerleaders out there, get the band out there, get Mr. C out there, our good friend.
Yeah.
Make it like a game day atmosphere and just put the game on the big screen. Let people experience your brand new First Bank Stadium You just renovated it. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful. It's awesome. You don't even have to charge. Just maybe you will.
Make it feel like this. Kill two birds with one stone. You're going to be tearing down a lot of goalposts. So just do your little watch parties. That'll cover some of the cost. Not all of it, but some of it.
There you go. Matt in Nashville has the name. Commodore Commotion.
The Commodore Commotion.
I love it.
That's good.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines and welcome in Trey, who has a comment on Vandy. Trey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning? Good morning.
Doing well.
Hey, I just got a premonition, man. If Vanderbilt wins this game, number one, that this game will put Vanderbilt on the map. Okay, it will put Pavia on the map. It will put Coach Lee on the map. They have to go down there and win this game today. And I think they're going to pull it off. And y'all have a good day. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Thank you, Trey.
Thanks, Trey.
To Trey's point, I would argue Vanderbilt's already on the map.
Yeah, I think he makes a point, though, that it could put them at a bigger, I guess, magnitude of on the map.
We're already talking, and maybe it's because we're Vanderbilt affiliated and we're in the city of Nashville. We're already talking about, is Diego Pavia a Heisman contender? I think we should bring up, is Clark Lee a Coach of the Year contender?
Absolutely.
I think that they were put on the map last season with the season they had. Saturday, October 5th, 2024, when they won 40-35 at home against Alabama, was the start of something incredible.
Number one team in the nation at the time.
The number one team in the nation. I think they're already on the map. It's just a matter of can they sustain that success. But he is right. I think they have to go in and win this game. This is the marquee game of their season. They've had it circled all year, but I 1,000% guarantee you Alabama's got that game circled on their calendar in crimson red ink. They're out, I'll use an Adam Vingan term, they're out for bloodlust. They are ready for it today.
Yeah, and even if Vandy, I'm not trying to be negative, but even if they come out and lose by, let's say, one possession or something like that, or just 2-3 points, that still puts them on the map even more than they currently are.
Well, I would argue they win this game today and LSU wins out for the next 2 weeks. We're looking at a possible college game day over on West End.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do everything in my power, and you will do everything in your power to be out there live and do this show from there with special guest Pat McAfee.
That'd be awesome.
He wouldn't do it.
Jay Cutler.
He'd be a little... Oh, I don't think we want Jay Cutler right now.
Oh.
He may be a little bit preoccupied at the moment.
I need to start reading.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says Pavia Palooza.
Yes, that's it.
That's the one.
Just like old school. You ever see it?
With Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
We're going streaking!
Yeah. One of the signs said, I think it was Mike Palooza, I think is what it was. Yeah.
It's like WrestlePalooza.
Yeah.
Which was on ESPN a couple weeks ago, and it was below average.
Yeah. Pavia Palooza.
Pavia Palooza.
Good one, Dustin.
I love that.
You're on a good roll today.
Yeah. Dustin and I have become very close over the past couple times I've been on the air. We just seem to click right now.
Yeah.
And we've had a little bit of disagreements in the past, but right now we're on the same page. So
love that.
Credit to Dustin. I love Commodore Commotion, though.
Commodore Commotion, Pavia Palooza. We'll have to put these on some
Pavia
t-shirts.
Party.
Pavia Party.
Yeah, we should.
There you go.
Let's file some copyrights with the University of Vanderbilt.
I want to get to something real quick, Connor, before we go to break.
Sure.
We talked about earlier with Pavia's Heisman case. And we were talking during the break about this.
Yeah.
If John Mateer is the front runner for this right now, and you look at Pavia's stats comparing it to his, Pavia has 126 passing completions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Mateer has 141. Pavia has 15 less. So the fact that he's doing that, but then you look at the passing yards, 1,211, Mateer 1,215. He only has four more than Pavia. But remember, this is in less attempts. And you look at the completion rating at 74.6, Mateer at 67.4. Passing touchdowns for Mateer is 6, Pavia 13. I get it. He's played some teams that are not as great, but he's taking care of business. He's stat padding, as he should.
Yeah.
You look at interceptions, Pavia's thrown 3. You look at Mateer, he's thrown 3. But in those 3 interceptions, Pavia's thrown in, I think it was what? Against Virginia Tech, against South Carolina, against Utah State. So that'd be the 3 teams that have more of a competitive edge to them in you know, in regards to Charleston Southern and Georgia State, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you keep looking down, keep looking down. You look at rushing yards because you think, oh, you don't need rushing yards to win the Heisman, right? Nay, nay. With Diego Pavia.
Nah.
48 carries for 294 yards, averaging 6.1 yards per carry. Two rushing touchdowns on the season. You look at Materia. Yes, he has 5 rushing touchdowns. I get all that. 43 rushing attempts on 190 yards. So Pavia has over 104 yards more than Materia does and 5 more carries. So it goes to show you that the system that Clark Lee runs under Diego Pavia is multifaceted, where Pavia can stat pad against bad teams and good teams at the same time. And remember, South Carolina, they may not be panning out now, but they were 11th ranked team in the nation at the time. So you have to give a little credit to that when you look at a high profile resume.
I think resume right now does not look good. Virginia Tech is one of the worst teams in FBS football right now.
True.
South Carolina, you impressively went in, blew them out on the road, but you could make the case it's because they were without their Heisman preseason favorite, Lenora Sellers, at mm-hmm. quarterback. I don't subscribe to that idea. I mean, I do for a little bit because I think the resume is not there, but the results are.
Right.
They've blown teams out. They've gone on the road to a tough environment in Columbia, South Carolina, and just completely drained that stadium. They have produced results. I think if they go out and get a resume win today against Alabama for the second year in a row, then we start to talk about the resume. Because we're getting to the meat and the meat and potatoes of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, LSU, got to go on the road to Texas. Play Missouri, play the ultimate team of all college football in Kentucky, the toughest game on your entire schedule.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you go to Neyland Stadium to play Tennessee. We're in SEC play, which is the meat and potatoes of every SEC school's season. But it's a matter of, can they capitalize on what they need to do? And I think that starts today at Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just think there is a true case for Pavia to be a Heisman candidate because if we're looking at stats, and again, I get that the teams they've played have not been great, but the fact that Pavia is putting up large numbers like this and is comparing it to John Materia, and Materia's out for 2 to 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks for his hand injury, this only strengthens the case for Pavia, even if they lose today.
Quickly, let's go back to our Wilson County Hyundai phone lines. Welcome in our good friend Dustin in Hopkinsville. Dustin, what's up?
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call y'all butt dials.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Hey, man, I just wanted to holler at all the Vandy fans. As a UK fan, like, I couldn't be happier for all these Vandy fans.
Preach.
The school. And because we have nothing to live for at UK other than basketball. And sometimes Tennessee beats us. But we'll talk about that another day.
Right.
But, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, to all the papaws who didn't want the NIL and all this, SEC has been the big dog and still really are overall, if you count how many teams are just year in, year out good. But the Big Ten has something to say, the ACC, a lot of people do. But no matter what happens tonight, just be humble. Be humble, enjoy the win, embrace the loss. Every time something bad happens to me, something later, I learn a lesson and something good comes out of it. Tonight, if you lose, it's not the end of the world. Just let's hope that Vandy goes out there and puts on a damn dogfight. But without this NIL, like, what would you even have? Like, this has made college football so much better overall. These guys, you know, some of them came from nothing. And I'll say it like this, you know, the streets, the ghetto, and they're out here. Great, great kids living for something. They go out there and break an ankle and can never play again. Like, these guys deserve to be paid. And it's done nothing but make college sports overall better. Because the more teams you have, you don't go out and just dog walk a bunch of teams all the time. You want to go out and be competitive. And I think it's great. And I love that Vandy is getting this much recognition. And Trey was right. They're going to be on the map more. They are on the map. But if they win today, buddy, look out. Vandy's going to have kids lining up left and right. They're going to be talked about. Pat McAfee's going to be jumping off the tables and stuff on the show. So just be humble and embrace the win. And y'all be careful with all your partying tonight and you know, have some designated drivers and don't get too carried away. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Dustin. I love Dustin. I think he thinks that I am Jake Lyman and that we beefed over it. Do you remember the Savannah Bananas versus Nashville Sounds debate? I was on Jake's side for that, but it was Jake and Dustin getting into
it. Oh, boy.
That was a time. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Alabama. Coming up next, the duel of the century. Nick Frazier up 1-0 all time on me. And where are they now, duels? We will do battle once more. Coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you. Breaking it down, Alabama and Vanderbilt. Quickly, let's head to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com before we get into where are they now. And welcome in Eric. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'm going to try and make this short and sweet and real quick. Guys, I definitely think Vanderbilt has a shot today. It would not shock me if they do go down there and win. And I definitely think if they win, Tavia will be a serious Heisman candidate. And also, they'll definitely be ranked in the top 10. I think you can book that. But I will say this, with the whole NIL and transfer portal thing, I definitely think it's benefited Vanderbilt in football, and it's benefited a lot of downtrodden programs. I think it has hurt them, though, in baseball, because Tim Corbin, I know, is not necessarily a big fan of it. I still think they're going to be good. But also another thing that I didn't think about until somebody pointed out this past week, even though overall SEC probably has more teams ranked in the top 25, it appears that the Big Ten may be now the better conference because they've won the national championship the last 2 years. And the two big best programs right now are Ohio State and Oregon, which is the Big Ten, you know, with all the NIL and transfer portal thing. So it's kind of been this shift. Whether or not it will stay that way, I don't know. But I think the whole NIL and transfer portal deal has changed the landscape where the SEC probably won't be dominated as much as they were before. Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for the call. Yeah, to his point, I don't know if I personally would pick Vanderbilt to win this game. I think Alabama is going to backdoor cover on some level. They're favored by 10.5 right now. I think they get a late touchdown to extend it to 14, and they win 38-24. That's just me, but Vanderbilt fans, you have reason to be excited. Let's get into the duel. Where are they now? Quickly refreshing the rules. Five players, the first three are in North America. The final two are anywhere in the world. 1 point for league, 2 points for exact team. Are we ready?
Yes.
Nick Frazier, you defeated me last week. You go first.
Okay. A 2019 national championship has on the resume here, a USFL championship in 23. Where is Randy Moss's son, Thaddeus Moss?
Oh, my goodness. I forgot he played football. I'll say he's still in the UFL.
Okay.
Playing for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Incorrect. He's playing in the Canadian Football League. For the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
What a name.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats.
All right. So no points for me there. Former St. Louis Cardinals closer.
Ooh.
Mexican legend. Giovanni Gallegos.
Oh.
Where is that horrible, horrible closer?
Yeah, he blew a lot of saves for the Cardinals a couple years ago. Giovanni Gallegos is playing in Double-A baseball for the San Francisco Giants organization.
He is playing in AAA baseball for the team just across the pond, the Los Angeles Dodgers organization. He's playing for the Oklahoma City Comets.
Mm. Can't believe I missed that one.
So nodded at nada.
All right, next one I have here is still in baseball, former Vandy pitcher Kyle Wright. Where is pitcher Kyle Wright playing baseball now?
Kyle Wright.
Former Atlanta Brave.
Former Brave, yes. I'll say he's in AAA for the Miami Marlins, so that would be the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
So close. AA for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals.
Who's that an affiliate of?
I'd have to check for you. It doesn't say. It is an affiliate of... doesn't say. So it's some AAA affiliate... with the Bisons? So, I don't know.
Regardless.
The Buffalo Bisons AA? I don't know.
Regardless.
Not a AAA team.
No points there.
No points. Back to you.
Former Los Angeles Laker, Denver Nugget, Orlando Magic player, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. who a lot of people hate for some reason, and I don't really understand it.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is still in the NBA and is playing for the Los Angeles Lakers.
He is in the NBA.
Okay.
You got to study up on your local players because he is just west of us playing for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Was he in a trade recently for that?
I think he was a free agent acquisition.
Okay. Because he was playing for the Lakers recently, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So you're up 1-0.
Okay. This one here is back to football. Okay. Quarterback Luis Perez went to the University of Texas A&M Commerce was with the Los Angeles Chargers in 2024. Where is quarterback Luis Perez?
I don't know.
Oh, you'd know this guy if you saw him.
Yeah, I probably would. He's in the UFL for the Michigan Panthers.
You get a point. He is in the UFL for the Arlington Renegades.
Okay.
So tied at one apiece. Back to you.
Okay. So we are going beyond North America, tied 1-1. The greatest Nashville Predator with the last name Weber of all time. Former Predators defenseman, Yannick Weber.
Yannick Weber. Yannick Weber. Where are you, Yannick Weber? Tell me where you're at in my brain. Yannick Weber is playing in, I'm going to go Yugoslavia.
What a pull. What's the team?
The Yugoslavian Snakes.
He's playing in Switzerland, back in his home country, for the ZSC Lions.
Mm.
I don't know what ZSC stands for, but he's playing for the Lions.
Sure, it's important.
Yeah, it's probably great.
First on my international list here, going to soccer, American midfielder Tyler Adams.
Mm.
Where is American midfielder Tyler Adams playing soccer currently?
I feel like every time we have an American soccer player playing overseas, he's playing in Germany for Bayern Munich.
Tyler Adams is not playing in Germany for Bayern Munich. He used to play in Germany for RB Leipzig.
Of course he did.
Now he plays for currently Premier League side Bournemouth. So
I did not know that existed.
Yeah, Bournemouth. So
what country?
That is England.
Oh, okay. Now,
back to you.
Former Kentucky Wildcat. Married to a former Kentucky Wildcat volleyball player, Madison Lilly. Where is white chocolate Nate Sestina?
And what sport again?
Basketball.
Basketball. I'm going to go Spain, playing for the Real Madrid.
He is in Spain.
Let's go.
Playing for the Valencia Baskets.
Valencia Baskets. Oh, well, good name.
So 2-1 lead. I got to get something here. To at least extend it.
This may be a gift to you, but I'm going with something obvious, maybe not so obvious. One of the greatest soccer players of all time, Cristiano Ronaldo, the Portuguese soccer player.
Oh, I know the country. I don't know.
Where is Cristiano Ronaldo playing soccer currently?
He's playing in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
For the Camels.
Oh. He is playing in Saudi Arabia for El Nassr. So
I knew it was Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Want to hear something crazy?
Sure.
I accidentally skipped my third person in North America.
Oh.
And I think you did too.
Oh, did I? No, I had all three.
Okay.
Kyle Wright, Luis Perez, and the first one, which was Thaddeus Moss.
Did we do Thaddeus Moss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my first one.
Oh. Well, I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Where is former Mississippi State enemy, Ole Miss running back, Snoop Connor?
Snoop Connor. Ooh. I'm going to go UFL, playing for the Houston Roughnecks.
He is technically in the NFL, on the practice squad for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm. So close.
So we're knotted at 2.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just exchange a tiebreaker here? Is that how we're going to do it?
Yeah.
I know we're over, but it's fine.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just pull one out of my rear end here. Denver Nuggets. This is basketball, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Nuggets, New York Knicks, Oklahoma City Thunder, Chicago Bulls, Houston Rockets, Los Angeles Lakers, and I think that's it.
Danilo Gallinari.
It is Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, now to you. College East Carolina University was a NFL Offensive Player of the Year in 2009, played for the Titans, Jets, and Cardinals.
Chris Johnson.
Bingo.
CJ2K.
I figured you'd get that after I said Eastern Carolina University. But,
yes.
But yeah, looks like you've won.
We have won.
So you have won. I have not won.
The all-time series.
One all.
One all. And we will resume next week. That's going to do it for us here today on the Weekend Huddle. Enjoy Vanderbilt, Alabama. That game coming up. Pregame starting at 1 over on 94.9 The Fan. Preds preseason puck drop at 2 today. Pregame will begin at 1 as well. But for Nick Frazier, for Jake Wellman behind the glass, I'm Connor Newt saying so long. We'll see you next week right here on the Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!